This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One of the British soldiers came, not knowing he was the Sultan, put his hand on the belt the Sultan was wearing, which was studded with gems. So obviously this was looting. So the British soldier, when the Sultan was injured, lying on the, with other dead bodies, he was there. So the British soldier reached out for the belt. And when he tried to take the belt, the Sultan, with whatever strength he had in his body, he struck him with the sword again. Okay, and the soldier stepped back and shot him in the temple, rahmatullahi alayh. Tipu Sultan died on the battlefield, fighting for his right and for his people and for his religion, most importantly. Long story short, in 1799, they bring the same coalition back, the Nizam, the Marathas and the British, to defeat him, and they overpower him in this war, and he decides to fight and die in battle. He decides to fight and die in battle. His servants, his military generals tell him, escape. There were many escape routes. He was a Sultan. Many escape routes. He could go to another city within his state. He had many cities. It was one of the richest states in India. Right? So one of his servants told him, Sultan, escape. And he said to him, have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? Have you ever seen cowardice from me? And then he fights and he gets shot a few times in his arm, in his side. And the bullet that killed him was in his temple. One of the British soldiers came, not knowing he was the Sultan, put his hand on the belt the Sultan was wearing, which was studded with gems. So obviously this was looting. So the British soldier, when the Sultan was injured, lying on the, with other dead bodies, he was there. So the British soldier reached out for the belt. And when he tried to take the belt, the Sultan, with whatever strength he had in his body, he struck him with the sword again. Okay, and the soldier stepped back and shot him in the temple, rahmatullahi alayh. Tipu Sultan died on the battlefield, fighting for his right and for his people and for his religion, most importantly. Okay, there is a book on him. It is titled The Tiger. The Tiger. Okay, and why he was called the Tiger, you have to go and read the book. It is by Kate Brittlebank. Kate Brittlebank. It is a very powerful book. It is a very good biography of Tipu Sultan. You can read it. So long story short, we're going to move forward very quickly. So the British, having defeated Tipu Sultan, they get this confidence now. They think, okay, now we are superior. Our religion is superior. Our race is superior. Our economic tactics are superior. Our military tactics are superior. We are superior people. And then there are philosophers in Britain behind them who are writing philosophies that kind of inflate this sense of superiority. So the British administrators, British soldiers, British generals, British governor generals, they become racist. They openly express their racism and they start to marginalize Indians from all important posts. They put them aside. They don't want the Indians to have any important positions, especially after 1803. Tipu Sultan warned all these local Indian rulers, you fight against me with the British, watch what happens to you. You will all be enslaved one after another, one after another. And it rings a bell in our current day and age, right? So Tipu Sultan warned Nizam of Hyderabad, you will be reduced to a slave, to the status of a slave. The Marathas, the Peshwas, he warned them, you do not join me against the British East India Company, you will be reduced to the status of being slaves. And this is exactly what happened in 1803. Having defeated Tipu Sultan with the Marathas in 1799, 4 years later, the British defeat the Marathas in 1803 in the Battle of Aligarh, and they take the city of Delhi. In Delhi now, the third last, you can say, Shah Alam II, who has already been on the throne for more than four decades. So when the British take Delhi in 1803, the scholars of Islam are questioned now. And one of them was Shah Abdulaziz, who was alive the son of Shah Waliullah Dehlavi rahmatullah alayh. What do? The British have taken over. And what do we do? How do we... So he was of the opinion that India now, under the sway of the British, their dominion, because they are a Christian power, they have forced their way in, they have occupied Muslim territory. India is Darul Harb. India is Darul Harb. In other words, India is like a hostile territory now for Muslims. It is hostile territory. That's what he said, right? So even though he said there are freedoms, we are allowed, we are allowed our Eid, our Salah, other Islamic rituals are allowed, but we are under the dominion. This is the Muslim, this is a Muslim territory. So this is basically, because it's taken by a foreign occupying force, it is a hostile territory now, as far as we are concerned, right? So from 1803 to 1857, the next 50 years, almost 50 years, the British were becoming extremely oppressive, repeatedly against the Indians, the Hindus, as well as the Muslims. Muslims more so, because they were more in fear of Muslims than the Hindus, because the British East India Company knew that they have taken power from the Muslims, not from the Hindus. So the Muslims will always try to do something against our rule, right? Long story short, in 1857, the volcano of feelings erupts. How? There is always that straw that breaks the camel's back. And the straw at this time was the British came up with this idea. And while all of this is taking place from 1803 to 1857, in between this time, the British bring in missionaries, Christian missionaries from Britain, from different British persuasions. They come in and they start to convert, or they try to convert, using the might of the government, because a lot of government officials working for the East India Company still up to this time, East India Company is ruling in name, okay? Even though a lot of the people who are ruling are directly linked to the British government in Britain. But still, the name that's being used as the ruling entity in India is the East India Company, right? Okay, so the officers who are coming in, a lot of them are actually Christian missionaries, right? These people are being given high positions in the government.